So we are going to quickly record a little after party. We had a couple people in and out. We're just coming off of another Star Wars binge, and I got a couple guys in here, and we have stumbled upon some hidden talent in an old friend of mine, Rob Hammond, who will hopefully take over for myself as GM for our up-and-coming evil campaign, Hell's Vengeance, the Foul Play Podcast, where Joe Gibson, to my left here, will make his starring debut as one of our most evil, and relying on old favorites like Matt Witt, Ryan Messina, and unforgettable as Old Man Arif, trying out of the box thinking as an oversized barbarian, half giant. Why did I let him play half giant? Mr. Frank Hamilton. I'm pulling the best of the best as I can for this. And we've discovered that evil is a thing. It's a genre. It's not just like one Pathfinder society or one Pathfinder adventure path. There is an expo coming for this. There are people that have podcasts doing this. And in the house tonight, we have Kenneth Kitchens, who is Dr. Evil himself from the League of Villains podcast. Ken, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight during the after party.
Thank you for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. Now, we actually interviewed Ken earlier today, and you will see that soon, then later on our Attack of Opportunity. But right now, we're just hanging out with the boys. We're discussing how old we are and the older additions that... Frank, you still got those? He was flashing. That was some old D&D, man.
Oh, do you remember the dice you had to use your own crayon to fill in when they came out of the box?
Oh, jeez. I remember that. Didn't have to experience that myself. I'm not that old as you, Rob.
Or having to go to all your other box games and stealing the dice to have enough to make the game faster because you couldn't just go to the store and buy them.
I was lucky enough to come along when they started putting them in those clear tubes and they started adding the extra D6s. Yeah. You know, no, I was late 80s, early 90s, and then second edition came out. We had played box set basic, which was the revised with all different colors, came after like the stuff you guys were just talking about. We got into second edition and it came out and Larry Elmore's art, Jeff Easley, Parkinson, Dragonlance, you know, just boom. And we just dug right in there. But I will always have a very special place in my heart for the basic red box. I've actually pitched it to these guys I was saying earlier, Rob and Ken, that it's like, hey, we should just play basic, have a show and everyone can just, you know, listen and feel how old they are. No.
Well, maybe not old.
Oh, make Frank's collection valid again. Hey, I have those on my shelf. It's a show I'd listen to.
I'd have to relearn the basic rules.
Yeah.
Show up.
That'd take like, what, 2-3 minutes?
Yeah. Well, you would definitely want a cast that was just like, could entertain through role play and a DM that's understanding to bend or expand. I was kind of surprised that Matt wasn't down with this idea. He was like, no, I really like these rule sets that we're doing and not going back. But
I think it comes down to he's comfortable with the rules enough that that's a safety net, right? He knows the game. Whereas he'd be in a situation where he wouldn't know, but like, you know, 10 minutes into the game, he'd get it. Trust me, if you can get him to play once, he'd be all over it.
Well, we actually had tried a series. We called it Alignment Undetermined, and we found a Pathfinder converted version at 7th level of the old 3 to 5th level Castle Amber, or Castle d'Amberville, which is one of my personal favorites. And we came up with this obscure party, and I absolutely love Frank Hamilton's Flynn Knoll that I let you play.
Yeah.
And everyone, awesome. He's in there, and they get into the hallway. Sorry, what's that?
But I think we made it into like the first main room and that was it.
Yeah, we there's 4 episodes. I kind of buried them because everyone had a look at those hits and it just kind of went, and they're like, maybe we shouldn't just keep beating this dead horse for our own, you know. But it's not necessarily about the numbers. Like I said, one of our second most popular podcasts at the moment is our Star Wars podcast. We shot first and we are running a dead Star Wars system. Saga was the prototype for 4th edition D&D. And it was actually better, in my opinion, their stumbling beginnings before they kind of got into 4th edition and went way off and doing a whole bunch of stuff with cards. And it has that canon story. 3 months after Order 66, you're working for Bail Organa. You're doing his wet work. There's no rebellion. We shot first, 19 years before Han shot Guido, hence the name of the show. But we love Star Wars. The system is cool, D20. And even though it's, you know, probably not ever going to make it really, really big, it's our second biggest show. And we had so much fun doing it. We were playing it tonight. And we just recycle people. And we bring in cameos and stuff. We've had Rob cameo. I'm going to ask Ken to cameo as somebody, you know, some flashback or whatever. You know, everyone just loves Star Wars. We're practically using it as currency with content creators. We're like, hey, this and this and this, would you mind doing an interview? I'm so busy. Would you mind cameoing Star Wars? Oh, yeah. What do you guys play? It's like, here, Star Wars. Yeah, sure. Why not? But how about you, Ken? Tell us about the box set that got you going. We're all flashing our little collections here. Like, how far back do you go into D&D or the sci-fi? And I know you're bigger on sci-fi than...
I'm trying to think. It was like early 2000s, so I'm thinking that's 3.5, maybe 4th edition D&D.
Okay.
And I kind of went in and out just at the local game store. And it was really, I stumbled in once we moved to Pennsylvania. They were playing Storm King's Thunder 5th edition.
Yeah.
And it just kind of drew me in. And it's been like 3 years, and I'm still playing with the same group of people.
That's cool. We've considered 5th edition. It is Forgotten Realms, after all, where a lot of us spent most of our time. 2nd edition, 3rd edition, Forgotten Realms. 4th edition put us off of it. We got into Glorian, Pathfinder, woo, brand new world, and we're invested. 5th edition is Forgotten Realms that we know 100 years later, after the Spell Plague, after, you know, a whole bunch of events.
Right.
The only people still kick in. Oh, what's he got now? Now he's waving. Was this Star Frontiers?
The Star Frontiers.
Frontiers.
Oh, don't know that one. There, what was the other one? Travelers? You guys remember Travelers?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, thank you. I was like, I hope I got the name right. Frank's got everything.
Travelers was so hard to play. God, you need a degree in physics.
I remember playing it like a little bit, a couple of sessions with our DM, Doug, that got us into it before I took over the D&D game from him, because I was so obsessed with the screens and everything. He's like, you'd be good at this, you know. And then Doug wanted to DM again. He's like, oh, I got this other sci-fi game. You know, Jeff's doing the fantasy, and we're in the middle of doing stuff. Here's Travelers. And we're like, cool. You know, and you had the two races, and you could play either race on either side of the war or whatever, and you're just a turncoat depending on which side or which race you are. So you'd be like the human for the humans, or if you're the alien race, on the human side, well, then you're an informant or whatever, and vice versa. And I don't remember much after that. There was just, like you said, it was like, we're looking at this going, yeah, so about that wizard idea, I understand there's a mystic now for basic D&D. Really? You don't say. No, really, it's a mystic. It's a monk. You know, let's get back into that. come on, Joe, you're holding on to me, buddy. So polite.
Well, that's all good. It's all good.
Where'd you start?
I started... it would have been Redbox way back in the day, and then took a big break, and then did a little bit of second, and then took another break, and then got into good old 3.5 and converted everybody else.
Yep, got us going. Got us going.
Yep, got everybody back to getting out of the crappy second, because second was good for its time, but now you look back at it and realize how bad it was. Just like how we can look at fourth and go, yeah, it was garbage.
there are people that still like it.
Yeah, but they don't play any other system though.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, yeah. At least everything keeps coming up. Like fifth, I haven't played it, but I've read enough about it that I like it.
Well, funny you should say that. We recently interviewed Nicole Tuttle, who's interested in possibly not only joining our Mummy's Mask cast while Ashley Pasquale was on hiatus, but possibly doing a one-shot in 5th edition. And you're looking at the guys that I would, you know, because I heard Ken plays. Oh, by the way, Ken, you might be in a one-shot with us. Just breaking news. You know, Frank Hamilton, myself.
I love playing.
Yeah, 5th edition guys, one shot, like on a Sunday afternoon for 2 hours under Nicole, you know, with whatever she gives us, and just whoever I can rope on that day going, Frank, Matt, Ryan, you're all 5th edition or Forgotten Realms fans, we'll just fake it, you know, Joe, here we go, you know, Rob, here we go, Ken, you could be the rules lawyer. Make sure you can tell it can translate for, you know, and off we go. Or just to sit back and to watch it being played. Like I said, so we don't crowd the house, just have other people on the mic besides myself, because I'm so entrenched in every show. I'm really going to enjoy an aspect of the production aspect of getting Rob behind the screens, of getting Nicole behind the screens, being a player or even less. We had a show, one of our first shows called Clinton's Core Classics. And we had recruited Frank. And Frank said, my real life DM, Clinton Chard, you know, you should meet him. He would be interested in this kind of thing. So I met him and romanced him in the idea. He didn't know podcasting, everything. Oh, no, we got this covered. You know, I got a guy who was podcasting with us and taught me a bunch of stuff, but isn't available on our day. So it would give him a game and we could give you a game and I could play. But Frank couldn't be in, unfortunately. Clinton really wanted to play with Frank, like on the podcast, but they were playing Saturdays around their meat table. And I pitched this to him and I'm like, let's go with like the core rule book. Everyone's playing four-armed Kitsune Ninja Dro. Like, let's go back to a sort of a basic. It'll be easy for you, Clinton. We'll play Rise of the Rune Lords, Pathfinder's favorite number one, right? Frank's been through it twice, so we vouch for it. But sorry, Frank, can't be in the show. Too much meta. And, you know, we'll keep it simple. Advanced core, but right? So we have a half-orc monk. We have a dwarf fighter. We have... myself, I was playing a half-elf cleric, and I'm usually like, oh, they expect me to be the schmoozy guy, and I went with this sort of disarranged, talking to my dead girlfriend ghost, little shy guy weirdo. hey, Ashley liked that character, one of our biggest fans. I after listening back to it, because I was producing the show, I was editing the show. Clint and Frank came on as executive producers, helped fund the show. And I was only in first season. I got so busy on a Sunday night, I had to like give it up. I'm like, okay, guys, I'll still edit the show. I'll still produce the show. I just can't cast in it. You know, and they found somebody else. And they moved on. They kept going. And I enjoyed listening to their show by editing it. And, you know, anyway, on and on, more people further away. Ayn Willems, who works with us on Friday nights and is in most of my shows, still plays with them and still has a great time. He's on his third or fourth character. And they're going along. And they, you know, there was... You get into like you're going one direction with one thing and they want to go another direction, and it just, you know, sooner or later, okay. So after a bit of a falling out, not gonna lie, I turned over all the footage. Like, guys, I really don't want Aiden to like have to choose, and he really enjoys this game, and I do like your show, and if you don't want to be under my banner, guys, you know, best of luck, here's all the footage. You know, even though I had a big stake in owning half of it, at least, if, you know, and no, guys, you know, here's the footage, everything, blah, blah, blah. I know you've got a podcaster in your group. I know you've got another podcast. Like, they had the resources and they could do it. And now they do. They have their own website. They've continued the show. And I wish them the best. And any of our fans that say, what happened to the, you know, where'd it go? Oh, no, it's still going. I just say, no, it's over there now. You know, they're not with us anymore. To go, you know, you're a fan. No, please, you know, it's right over there, man. Best of luck, you know, kind of thing. But on that, we don't ask about them. They don't ask about us. Aiden says, don't ask me. You know, so. and that's a risk to take as a network where you're going show, type of thing. But he was my only other GM. And every time we tried to start something new, I was the guy pitching it. And I was the guy like, and I'll run it. And we'll add this person. And we'll switch the cast. And it's not enough. It's not enough. We need fresh blood, fresh GMs. I'd like to play too, please. And take a step back and, you know.
Fresh GMs, look at us.
Yeah. Fresh GMs, look at anyone, volunteers, you know. Ken, do you do any DMing? Do you dabble behind the screens in 5th edition, sir?
I DM for my kids sometimes because they want to play.
That'd be awesome. I would love to see a video screen that's like me, your kid, Rob, your kid, Joe, you know, and the kids are like owning us, right? We're like, how do I do this? And one of your kids are like, Jeff, it's there. It's right on you. Oh, thanks, little guy. You know, playing away, kind of thing. I run up the wall and have your kid go, you know, what's advantage?
Quite creative.
You know, what's this? You know, that'd be awesome.
That creative is good.
Yeah. No, they have a whole line of material for kids now. There, I saw stuff and conventions and stuff right here in Peterborough where we had pro family, pro, you know, get rid of the gatekeeping, get rid of the not access, you know, for all ages, all creeds, all colors, all lifestyles, handicap, name it, you know, open access, get the wheelchair, get everybody in there type of thing. Safe environment. Don't feel threatened. Don't feel that you need to know your rules as much as these guys. You know, that kind of, no, very open, very cool. And for little kids. And they had these adventures they were running that they had on their website. And it was like, one was about a troll. It was like the troll's birthday or the troll hates cake or something. And it's written for like little kids.
The troll hates cake.
Yeah, like this little kid. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. Where was this stuff when I was like 16 when I was first introduced to it? And I'm fretting over now, you're like, basic rules are like dumbed down. We're looking at the first time going, what is this? You know, travelers? Oh, no. PhD. No, like you said, Frank. No, PhD. I'm not playing travelers. Look, you know, arguing, struggling, you know, evolving through the rules, getting older, the brain cells slowing down. But let's talk a little bit about what's in the future. What does the future hold? You're looking at a bunch of dudes that are dying to be evil, and you've done it. You have a podcast about being evil. Do you have any advice for us, out of the gate? Any advice you can give us, Ken, about setting this up, about our tone, the flavor? I understand you're a fan of our trailers, you know. Let's pick your brain while we get a chance here.
I was very surprised that there was such a large fandom around just evil in general, villains in general. So I would say embrace it. Go all in. Whether you want to be, you know, your bloodthirsty evil for the sake of being evil, or if you want to be more of like a Skeletor kind of comedic evil, I would just embrace it and just jump in with both feet.
You're referring to the line in the trailer where they're arguing. I do a voice and Ryan is like, yeah. And Ryan does a voice and it's Skeletor. And Matt's like, no, that's Skeletor. And Ryan's like, yeah, what's wrong with that? And then Matt comes back with him like, do my laundry. It's kind of crap. And I was really, it's like, your cat is green. What the hell is up with that? You know, I'm freaked out. Looking at the cat. so much evil out there. The Player's Handbook warns about being charismatic evil and getting along, not just being insane. You know, you don't put three Jokers in a room. Joker's charismatic and manipulates his party. That could work. But you can't have people that are all just like, oh, you know. I enjoyed the concept in Dragonlance where Raistlin became evil. And they ask him, why do you follow Tannis? Why do you follow the party evil? The party leader. And he's like, our goals are just going in the same direction. You don't think I'd leave when I want to? And like, sure enough, he leaves, you know, and everyone's like, well, saw that coming. Yeah. He no longer needs you guys. You know, he was using everybody and now he doesn't need you. He's gone, right? This story starts off with a female NPC rogue hiring the party to do a heist as if we'd all met. But we might try and take this bit further with backstories because we're looking at a Damphir Oracle from Ustalav. We're looking at, oh, geez, Joe, what do you got? Three guys? We keep changing. Yeah. We keep asking.
You've got asking me to change. So.
Well, it was it was necessary. Krovax, like you said, wasn't working at low level for the playtest. The idea of the necromancer with Uncle and the, you know. Then he found an inquisitor that literally has a big ironbound holy book on a chain and he beats you with it. That's his weapon. It's a shield. It's his everything. No. And he turns page three. Oh, you got
a necromancer will die.
Sorry? We're losing you.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Welcome to the dodgy internet. Oh, I'll just have to finish your story and they'll just have
put
to leave
it down and hold up signs.
Yeah, yeah, really. Kill the video. Yep, there we go. I'm
doing it.
Yeah, coming there to you from space.
Killed.
Yep.
Yeah, fucking Rogers.
Ooh, five red bars.
Yeah,
no, so
freaking Rogers. Anyways, yeah, so, but yeah, I'm now doing the, what am I actually going to play?
Well,
oh, my half fiend inquisitioner, not right. The one with the
right. And then we talked about, oh, we have Rob, I'd be a fifth man. And we talked about, like, remember the video game Overlord where you got minions and you sent them to do stuff and they would run all over the map? And right, so I called you up and I'm like, I know you just took time to make a brand new guy, but, you know, things have changed. October's coming and, you know, we might have a new DM, you know, because I wasn't going to be the DM for this. We had a guy on the line and unfortunately his schedule wouldn't mesh. And I was like, oh, crap. Well, you know what? Everyone's so excited. I'll DM. Hell with it. We'll make this happen. It's going to be our biggest thing yet. You know, I'll just suck it up and try and do it. So now we have the possibility of Rob auditioning and we'll see what works with who. I pitched an idea of Overlord to you where you could be a summoner that gets the minions and I would be the first gremlin minion that popped up and can narrate the show, you know, welcome to the Evil Play Podcast, you know, I'm first minion, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And we could envelop your strong silent role play and your awesome tactics that come from Joe Gibson, the player, you know, that kind of thing, but it's up in the air. So we're teasing, we're revealing, we're talking openly here on the After Party Podcast, but nothing is written in stone. You never know who the final cast will be. You never know. All we know is that come hell or high water with whatever we got going after a lot of debate and a little bit of practice that we're starting right now this summer, when October rolls around and we start dropping episodes or hopefully a couple of them, that we, you know, we're going to try and put our best foot forward. And even if we got to outsource to evil professionals like Ken here, yeah, we'll get it done.
Is that on your business card? Professionally evil.
Wouldn't it be great? You know, wallpaper and, you know, sundry and professionally evil part-time, you know, that kind of thing. Frank.
Yes?
Usually backing me up with your own side story. Have you ever played an evil campaign or an evil character before? Like, is this new ground for you? I know it's every player's dream and DM's nightmare going, I always play the evil guy. Can't I be a hero? Nope, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if I have it, it hasn't been for like a really long extended campaign. The closest thing I came was, what was it? Oh, the Shattered Star with Clinton running the game. Mm. I was playing a neutral evil shadow mage who, for the exact reason, I mean, I didn't like anybody in the group, but we both kind of went the same direction because I was going to steal the end game artifact, whatever it was.
I know that story.
Yeah. I'm in it for the, yeah. For the win at the end.
Oh, wait. I did. We played, what was it? Where's the one that takes place in Corvosa?
Corvosa.
The Adventure Path in Corvosa.
Oh, do you mean the one that came out of the Dungeon magazines or the Dragon magazines? Their old campaign that was like...
No. This is fairly recent. I'd never played a monk before. And so I'm like, what the heck? I'll play an orc monk that's lawful evil. And just wrecked that game. oh my God, it was brutal. I didn't recognize how potent monks were.
Oh yeah, especially ones that grapple, because they just get a hold of, you know, the boss and
owned the game.
Nasty. And now you're playing a half giant with like a great big sword. Like, we've done some blade testing, ladies and gentlemen. And like, Frank just like, you sure you want me to play? No, you sold me on the idea. Let's say, you know, you're in the point buy. Oh yeah, now stats are leveled and everything. Okay, right. First combat in the hallway. Death, death, death. And I'm like, oh God. You know. And then Ryan and Matt are running around with their like elegant characters going, we're helping, we're helping. It's like, oh good. Okay, there's some balance there. You know, if I play, I'm gonna go for a small character. I'm gonna go for like with small weapon, you know, like a halfling with a razor and do the Sweeney Todd thing, or go with a gnome that's got that the great big thunderstone stick, or the rip saw. It's like this gnome weapon that looks completely psychotic. It's a pole with a spin saw on the end. And you know those old cars where they had the edged line and you pull it out really fast and it makes the flywheel in the car go and you put it up, right? So they have this rope and they like yank the line and it gets that thing spinning, and then they just kind of apply it like a halberd and it does crazy damage on this little dude, right? And I found this great picture that looks like a cameo character I did, Nigel Forsyth.
I fully expect.
Sorry? Go ahead.
I said I fully expect to die soon.
No. Well,
I'm going to pull some aggro. They're going to be like, kill that thing first.
Yeah, it's like, and now it's the bad guy's turn. We target Frank, and the caster targets Frank, and the healer doesn't heal. He comes up with some spiritual weapon and targets Frank, because that thing, you know. And now the archers kill it with fire. You know, yeah, and then the party's pwned, because what do you got left? A damn fire who stopped over everybody to have a drink. I was just taking a minute, you know. A mentally unstable alchemist. Yeah.
Yeah, an inquisitioner. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Joe, you'll be left standing going, I need a new party, and just walk off the field.
Yeah.
don't mess with him, he's with Asmodeus. Yeah. We'll see. Rob will have a completely different style, completely different tone, you know. And like I said, if all votes are in and I still GM it or whatever, you know, Rob tells me that if he plays, that playing evil is very liberating. You know I believe Ken gave me that line.
One of the best campaigns I ever ran, my main characters that pulled all the strings, as it were evil. Oh, yeah. And the party never knew until the very end that all these wonderful things they thought were, you know, they're doing great quests and saving people, was they were on the complete wrong side when they got to the end, like after months of play.
Oh, you were the guy that like went to the board and came back with a quest going, hey guys, we got this job. They're like, yeah, oh, okay.
They kept going back to this. It was an evil alchemist. They started collecting stuff for him, but they kept going back. I never intended them to, but he's evil. He's like, yeah, get in good with these guys when they're, you know, low level adventurers. They're on their path to being heroes. Yeah, that's wonderful. And after like 4 or 5 months of play, they started to realize that they were getting, like kingdoms were turning against them. People were hunting them. They're finding posters with their names on them. Like, what's going on? And he just laughed and shut his doors. Like, oh, okay, we're done.
You're free of my retainer.
I don't see Garion as being evil. He's not that self-aware. There's
no control. Yeah, something stabs him, he stabs back hard. Rob, you're a little heavy on the mic there. You want to back off a bit there?
Sorry.
No, usually we're trying to get you to come in there, but you're huge on the mic right now.
Yeah, I moved stuff around a bit.
When I was playing Star Wars without Joe, under Doug, before you came back into the city, Joe, we were playing D20 Star Wars, and I had a Jedi. And for some reason, I'd played several characters, because my guys always die really easy for doing the right thing. Getting me behind the wheel of a car was crazy. My piloting rolls for any vehicle were completely terrible. Years went by, new system, went from D6 to whatever, get you behind the wheel. And they're like, no, why? Watch. New player discovers the horror of me, like, I'll drive. One. Right? So Doug decides to put us in episode one in a side story. So there's the Chancellor. You remember the Chancellor that gets... hires Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and then gets replaced. Vote of no confidence in Chancellor so-and-so. And he like goes, oh, pouty face, right? It's a very short part, right? In that timeline, when the movie starts, Qui-Gon are already working for him and they're on the scene checking out the Trade Federation. He rolls back time to, there's this tower and the party goes up an elevator to his chambers because they've been summoned for another job. Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon just had a meeting with them, were given that mission to go check out the Trade Federation, and are walking out of the room onto the elevator, taking it from us. and I'm the only Jedi. So of course I'm like, you know, Clay. Doug's like, that's a little meta. You know, like Obi-Wan is like a Padawan. He's not known as like, okay, Qui-Gon, you know, like, oh, it's so happy to meet you, right? It's like, what are you doing? It's like, I just want to tell a story one day where I get to, like, glad hand, you know, the cool, two coolest Jedi, you know, type of thing. He made me pay for it. Later on, we're outside, we're hovering in this stupid hover car thing that you see all through that they really overdo on Coruscant. Everyone has a two-man sports car, hover car, right? We're cramming six guys in it for whatever reason. And I'm driving, they leave me out there with the engine running. And, something goes on and we're like, we all go to guns and I pull my saber and it was something to do with something flying by or, you know, everyone's just getting ready. And I wanted to do something with the saber. I can't remember what it was, but I rolled a natural one. And the D6 days, you had to hit a DC 20 with a pool of D6s and get over that just to wield the saber safely. Or you could hurt someone or yourself. In D20, you're fine, but ones were like mishaps. And of course, back in the day, DMs were like, aha, this happens, right? I grab my saber and hit the button on my hip. So the blade comes out past my hip into the door and takes out a repulsor engine in our car, which starts leaning, grinding into the side of the Chancellor's building and score marking with my saber down the thing. You know, leave like, we've left our mark on Coruscant. Later on, after not being forgiven by the party, okay, this chase ensues. We have to change transport. And again, like, they bitch I drive, but they are you fine, give up your gun. No, you have a lightsaber. You can't do it. You know, you drive. Okay, then don't complain. I'm driving. And we're rolling. And he's doing chase scenes. And we're doing all this stuff. And all this stuff happens. And blah, 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 blah. And cross traffic comes. And somebody's shooting some missile or something at the bad guys. And a civilian transport gets in the way. And he hits it. And it just blows it. People, aliens, car to a million pieces. And we do the cool, well, do we drive through the parts? Like, you know, like on the NASCAR race, the guy crashes, formula, you don't swerve, you just drive through the wreckage and hope to hell you don't hit anything. That's the law, that's the right. So I don't alter course, I just drive through the wreckage hoping for the best and come out the other side. We continue the chase. This moment in time is completely forgotten for us for like 6 months of playing with Doug. And bounty hunters start showing up, and it gets worse, and it gets, and we're like, we've capped every bad guy, we've talked to every so-and-so, we've paid every agent, like, we started going back through everyone we've ever talked to, and paid them off, or phoned them up, and went, what the fuck, why do you have people, right? Get cornered in a bar, and it got so bad, by the time we were, like, barely, like, fifth or sixth level, there were, like, squads of, like, 20 mercs all just hot for us, just, like, not even caring about collateral damage, even though they're pro, just to stop us. That's how bad they wanted us. Finally, Doug caves in, he's like, do you remember that car? That innocent car of people, you know, that just came through and you guys blew it, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, that was a crime boss's family that we obliterated. Some, you know, it was like the wife and all the kids, you know, like, oh, honey, you know, don't ever talk about my business. Go home, go to the pool, take the kids. Okay, back to business. So, and there's the car of kiddies on the way to the pool. And we obliterated them in a million pieces. And someone got our number and, like, got it on holo. And he just started, like, who are they? Find them, get them. Type of, and he runs a subplot of collateral damage. That's how me and my old GM was.
That's kind of awesome, though.
It is. Oh,
and this was inspired by my crappy roles, and this is just the way our GM thinks. So I don't want to hear any shit about the way I think, the way I run Star Wars, or, you know, any crap that Rob might pull in the future. Because Doug, buddy, if you're listening to this, he's the man. There's a guy that could just take the most obscure, minute detail and turn it into a huge campaign arc and really make you regret and yet hate and love the game all the ones. Here's to you, buddy. You know.
And really make you hate those club roll.
Yeah. How about you guys? You got a story to top that one?
I got nothing.
Come on.
They're queuing one up is what they're doing. They're just queuing the story up.
No. What do you got?
Well, back when, you know, right as third edition came out, they had an adventure that we were playing where you got the Sword of the Dales. Yeah. It was like a Forgotten Realms sword, or a Forgotten Realms adventure, excuse me, where the sword was an actual phylactery for a demi-lich or something like that.
Yep. Okay.
And I just remember I thought my character was the coolest shit because I had the Sword of the Dales. So we're running through the adventure. We had done the mid-campaign. We had done the switch over to third edition. Like, holy cow, my guy's way too powerful. Everybody was ninth. And I think I was 14th or 15th because I was a fighter mage and the conversion was just ugly. And so we're going through Mythdranor and there's this thing that we've never seen before. So I stab it with the Sword of the Dales. It was a rust monster. Failed the item save. So the sword turns to dust, and I'm like, oh wait, I have this reroll, and I'm like so lucky. I'm like, oh thank God, I can fix this. Rolled it, another one. On top of a natural one. So two natural ones in a row. I just got up. We were playing at my buddy's game shop. I just got up, walked out. This is like midnight. And threw that die as far as I could down Main Street. came back in and sat down. And the guy running the game looks at me and says, so how much damage does the hilt of the Dales do?
That's good. It really perturbs me. Somebody gets so mad they throw like their joystick or something when they're Xboxing or whatever. But to patiently get up, excuse me, you know, walk to the door and then just pick a horizon and try to meet it with the dice that has earned your hatred. That's gold, man. I love it. Then you come back in and that's how they address the fuming Hamilton. That's awesome.
That's great.
That reminds me of a little story, really quick. We're playing Kingmaker, and then it died. And then I tried one of my last attempts of gaming in the basement, and we had Matt over, Matt Witt, our very own Matt Witt. And he loves this druid he invented called Scree. And he's an elven druid with his little falcon guy. And we're playing. And we're like, okay, guys, what rules are we going to use? Like, what variant rules? And how about this? And how about that? And they were pushing this instant kill double 20 thing. I'm like, what? I never heard of this. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you roll 20, it's a possible crit. Yeah, okay. Well, if your crit confirm roll is another 20, it's possibly instant death, like, you know, possibly instant death. And if you confirm that, then the guy's right. Okay. So I'm like, and my thing is like, okay, but whatever you guys can do, you know, the bad guys can do. What do you mean? Well, name bad guys. Okay. Well, name bad, you know, okay. So they're playing, they get through the first part, and then they're doing the bandit encounter in the woods, and they have their little lean tos and things up in the trees or whatever. And there's the named bandit, like the one, you know, guy, or and they're coming, and along comes Screen. He's running up, and they have this barricade, and they flip their wagons, and the party's pinned down, and Matt's kind of going it alone up the side of the map here, and he sees them, and he gets targeted by an arrow, you know, and I roll, okay, you know, bandit 20. Oh, great. Well, bows do triple damage, man. It's awesome. If I could confirm this, right? Go, he says. All right, pick it up. 20. Right? Yeah. Everyone's going, oh shit, you know, possible. So anyway, no one thought it would confirm. Like, oh wow, such suspense and all this stuff. Okay. We had played Kingmaker for a little while. I finally rewrote Matt. He came over that day, finished his character like a couple hours before, like quickly got ready to play. Okay. We're playing. The battle had gone on. We write his druid in. Dude lasted 5 minutes, blah, blah, blah. First combat, I move up the map. I want to help these people. I cast, didn't get the chance to do anything. It comes to his turn. Oh, wait, the bandits go first. Right, 20. Confirm, 20. Okay, so there's that instant death thing. Yeah, yeah, okay, pick it up. I shit you not. Drop it, and it's like, and he shoots you. It's just like right between the eyes, man. Dead. Anyway, he was really cool about it, right? And I'm like, I am so sorry, dude, like, you know, by your own ruling, you guys wanted me to use this crap and blah, 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 triple 20 him and just killed him on the spot. And his dude is like, oh man, I really like that character. Right. Years later, we're trying to play a seventh level thing, and he's playing this paladin, Sir Broadwick. And they get to this thing where you're in this big dynamic meeting with the Sylvan forces that are going to rise against the Fae, and half of them want to rise against you, the humans, with this crazy Fae Queen who's coming to get you. You know, it's the Fae Queen, Fae Wild, Seventh Adventure of Pathfinder, real like Tower of Thorns, Walt Disney, you know, that kind of thing, like serious in a pocket image, like really cool stuff, right? Seventh level, there they are. And he's like, oh man, my druid would be so cool. So, you know what? No, brand new party, brand new friends, brand new module. If you want to remake that guy at like seventh level or ninth or whatever, bring him in. He's like, really? Yeah, it'd be a second shot at Scree. Sweet. Put down the paladin, right? Okay. In he comes with Scree. Blah, 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 blah. There she is, the Queen of Thorns herself. So and so and so and so. And they have like one round to prepare, right? And he's like, nope. And they're all like, what are you doing? He's like, I got this, right? Blah, blah, blah. She has all these spells up. And one was Tree Stride, where she could jump into the columns, which were hollow, in her own throne room and be kind of invisible and cast spells through little peepholes and totally mess up the party. Blah, blah, blah. Nah, I got this. Kicks open the doors, you know, blah, blah, blah. Comes in, gets initiative. And I'm like, oh, dude, it's going to be another. Like, he's just being way brash with this guy. Matt, he's destined to die. What does he do? He dumps Dispel Magic on my caster successfully, strips her of her key and most powerful spell, and completely ruins my combat. And they just rake her. And the whole combat, I have a party killer on the defensive. Cast this, summon this, get out of the way, blah, 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 out the window. And they're chasing her up in the so-and-so. Josh is playing a barbarian who I baleful polymorphed into a badger and fell out the window almost to his death, and like just throwing everything at this party. And Scree kept on coming, and he sends the falcon out the window to track her, and she tries to fly away, and he's just on it, and he's like, no 20s this time, Jeff, where's your 20s now? And he's going out the window, and he takes a bow, he takes a fucking bow and arrow and shoots her down. It's like, it had to be a bow, and he kills her with a fucking arrow, and he doesn't do it the, ooh, look, a natural 20, Matt. He peppers her with arrows until she's done and kills her. And then there's Josh at the end of it. So, did I survive the fall? We roll. The guy's a barbarian. Yeah, you actually do. Sweet. Do I save my will save to, like, stay me inside the badger? Because it's only a matter of time before you start thinking you're a bat, right? He rolls. They're like, for now, I get back in there. And this badger is like, you know, runs up the stairs and gets back up there in time for Matt's last arrow to kill this thing with arrows. All because I let him play the druid, and he had this revenge plan, and it worked. And that's the best dice rolling story that I got. And we'll see you next time on the after party. Thank you all for coming, because I gotta go.